Global equity markets continue with a measure of upward momentum, this in part on the belief or some belief that the US and China may come to some sort of agreement on the trade tensions that have consumed markets for several months now. The local all-share index closed up over 1% to close at 54,543 index points, driven largely by the resources counters, although other sectors were also in positive territory at the close. However, it's been a negative day on the local currency front, with the rand trading at around 1392 against the US dollar. Well, to tell us more about what's been going on and some of the stories that we haven't heard about is David Shapiro. He's a deputy chairman at Sasfin Securities. Thanks very much, David, as always.
Pleasure.
Good stuff. So why does there appear to be positive momentum in global markets when no one actually knows what the outcome of these talks
will
be?
Look, first of all, we've had some very good results over the December period. They were expected, but you know, which has helped. I'm talking about globally, which has helped lift the market. And also, you're seeing Trump with a more conciliatory tone towards, number one, a trade deal with China. It seems that he wants to get it through, and also prepared to delay imposing tariffs, which the March 1st deadline coming up, and then also towards a border wall. You know, happy to accept a deal that's been put before him and turns it in his favor. So I think this buoyed market. We're taking away some of those issues which actually dragged us down last year. And then we had a benign inflation number out of the U.S. as well. That reduces the Fed's urgency to raise rates. It puts a case against it. So everything working in favor of equity markets. So we've seen U.S., European markets especially, even in the U.K., which has got nothing to do really with Brexit, because if you look at the U.K. markets, a lot has to do with miners and other companies you know, that are listed there. So all in all, if you look at our market, what's driving our market was a weaker rand. Yes, the dollar's getting stronger, but no doubt that the issues here, the Eskom issues and worries about what this will mean for the future of our ratings, is starting to play on the market as well. So I think a little bit, I wouldn't say all of the rand weakness is to do with that. A lot of it has to do with the dollar strength. And then the strength of global markets. So if we look today, we had all our miners up, Anglo, I'm talking the big index-pushing miners, you know, Anglos, BHP, Glencore, and then Richemont up 6.5%. Why is Richemont up? Incredibly good sales out of those luxury goods companies with exposure to China. So Kering, which is Gucci, LVMH, which we know LVMH, Louis Vuitton and so on, but Ferrari, Estee Lauder, L'Oreal, all of those reporting incredibly good sales. So if this is translated into perhaps a pickup for watch sales for Richemont. So Richemont up 6.5%, a big move. British American Tobacco up, AB InBev up. All of those shares, Mondi as well, pushing up our index. So taking SA Inc. out of the equation.
Yes.
So the moves that we are seeing on the market have a lot to do with foreign markets rather than our in markets. So typically, rand hedge, you know, giving this market support. So that's really behind the market.
The weaker rand.
The weaker rand and a combination of good markets. So we're getting the double whammy.
Yeah. Well, double whammy in a positive way.
In a positive way.
Yeah. So for how long?
So for pensioners, it's doing, you know, if you've got a pension that's exposed to the SA market, yeah, you're doing well.
Yeah, not doing too bad at all. And then the Eskom issue, I do see that the Minister of Public Enterprises, Pravin Gordhan, made a statement today to basically warn that by April, Eskom could face financial collapse and that therefore a bailout is absolutely essential. Now, I mean, I think we always understood that Eskom would need money, but that statement is very powerful. So it suggests that the quantum of support in the budget may be quite shocking. And
You know, one wonders where this is going to come from.
Yeah.
I don't think the taxpayers have got those deep pockets to bail them out.
So what do you think?
I think they have to sell assets. They also have to increase borrowing. Once they increase borrowing, our ratings go out the window. I'm struggling to work out where they can do it with the minimal effect, you know, without really knocking growth, which is already low. And of course, Eskom, these, you know, the current status of Eskom now is going to knock growth in any case. It's taking a lot away from the economy in a small way. If it takes away from a person who's got a small restaurant in Illovo or something, you know, you keep adding those things up, those small little businesses, it adds up to you know, lower profits for everybody, has a multiplier effect right through the economy.
Do you think our policymakers have been hoping that we can continue to kick the can down the road in terms of the credit downgrade? Because, you know, it's something that we've just missed by, you know, by a smidgen, because the other two major ratings agencies have had us down.
S&P and Fitch. So Moody's have been hanging on, and I don't know why. You know, one wonders why. It's to our benefit, but sooner or later they're going to say, okay, we can't hold off any longer.
If that does happen, if the worst were to happen, do you really see the rand going crazy?
I mean, rates will go up. It will have an effect.
Yeah.
I think it's coming at a time. In the past, they've worried about growth and they've worried about certain issues. But I think this Eskom issue is far, far greater than anyone anticipated. No one knew it was in such a dire situation and that we should be going to stage four 10 years after, even more than 10 years after, you know, we started to see the first blackouts or rollouts or whatever they call load shedding and so on. And this is at a level that we haven't seen for a long time. Luckily, it's summer. So there's not too much demand, you know, from heating and other issues like that. Mm. But I mean, it's Pravin Gordhan's realistic. This is, you know, when you start to look at the accounts, you can't be political anymore. Mm. You know, this is time to put politics aside. This is a serious crisis, and even the trade unions have to come and understand what kind of situation we're in. You know, they can protest, they can do whatever they can. You can't. We have to get Eskom right.
All right. Let's move on to retail sales for December. They came out, Stats SA says that they came down by 1.4% in December. I was a little bit surprised, but then I do remember the conversations we had about the effect of the Black Friday in November. So people perhaps buying ahead in November. And
that's hopeful. I think that's because remember last year we also had Black Friday. It might not have been at the same pace. I think this has more to do with people not having money and not spending. I think it's also a consequence of poor growth in the economy and lack of consumer spending. Mm. So it's telling. We knew it. It's not a surprise to us because it came through in many of the trading updates. You know, we suspected that sales would be down. There was kind of muted reaction on the JSE. A few retailers were down, but not dramatically so. So I think it's to a large extent it's been discounted. That doesn't mean it's going to turn up and improve, but I think the market had already pushed prices down.
What tidbits have you been seeing in terms of stocks?
Yeah, well, a lot. I think the one that caught our attention today, you know, yesterday we had EOH and we had Wilson Bailey Homes. EOH continued to fall. No resolution yet. There was a statement out by the company. Wilson Bailey still shocking the market because this is the blue blood company. This has been the one that has always held up and has done incredibly well, and they were doing well in Australia, Botswana, the rest of Africa, and not South Africa. You know, admitting that South Africa was tough, suddenly the Australian thing goes belly up. You know, or not belly up, but I'm trying to think of a non-rude expression that I can use. But total surprise from a company that has never really surprised us on the downside, has always held up well. So I think it took the market by you know, it was a shock. The other one was Hyprop. Now, Hyprop, today Moody's downgraded the debt because of their exposure to mainly to the – this relates to their assets in Eastern Europe.
Okay.
But there's another impact that's coming through, and that's the Edcon effect. So while we've got Eskom, we've also got Edcon. And people are extremely concerned about Edcon. Edcon needs, I think, 3 billion rand to bail them out. And why the bailout is not only for the, you know, it's not only from a retailer's point of view, it's also from the property company.
Yeah, massive discounts.
This is a huge, huge business. And if they, you know, if they're continually negotiating leases downwards and so on, and Hyprop has a big exposure to Edcon. So we're waiting whether the PIC will give them this 1.2 billion that has been negotiated or spoken about in the market. If that doesn't happen, I can't see Edcon surviving. Once they can't survive, every person who leases, you know, every retail sector that has a retail mall that has Edcon in it is going to suffer. And then what happens? If you reduce Edcon's rental, then Mr. Price is going to say, well, what about ours? Mm. And that's in the contract. Those are in the rental agreements. And Pick and Pay and Checkers and everybody. So it has a huge knock-on effect for property companies as well. That's why everyone's kind of biting their nails. And thank goodness for overseas markets, which just seem to kind of, you know, shift the pressure off us.
And very quickly, I've got I'm going to be speaking to the CEO, but what was the reaction on the market to Curro's results?
Look, Curro coming down. The strange thing is they never published a balance sheet. So I was trying to get a cash flow statement out of them, you know, which didn't appear. You'll get it later. But I didn't see the balance sheet, etc. But if you look through there, one of the reasons the profits came down, margins were down, is that their debt is increasing quite significantly. So they paid a lot more in debt, in finance charges as well. So they need money to keep on expanding. Mm. You know, capital expenditure, $1.2 billion, they don't generate anywhere near that kind of cash.
Yeah, that is a lot of money. Mm. David, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time. As always, David Shapiro, he's the Deputy Chairman at Sasfin Securities.